Hi, John.
Hey, Alex.
Do you know what I hate?
What's that?
I hate the, the kind of existential, all-encompassing alone that comes with, kind of late-stage capitalist society in which all of our social interactions are forced through a prism of some kind of, like, digital interface. And that kind of constricting, suffocating sense of you're the only one in the world and there's no one out there to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I guess you hate it, too, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, we watched her. Oh, bye, 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 baby, summer's gone. It's gone for the both of us, and tears we'll always have wet. Eyes are cry, but answer. Revolution, I will let you go. Let me start off with a non sequitur. Google, and I think it's Google, but one of the kind of high-end computery type things,
mm-hmm.
had two different programs that they taught to interact with one another.
Mm-hmm.
They caught the programs having invented a language they didn't know.
Yeah.
And went, oh, fuck, we don't speak this language. Mm-hmm. They figured out, oh, no, it's more efficient for us to invent this new language.
Yeah.
And the designers are like, what the That's horrifying. Mm-hmm. I just want to put that out there because eventually when we get towards the end of this movie, which I assume you hate,
yep.
I just want to point out that in our lives, we've seen an example of something not exactly the same, but pretty close to parallel of, oh, this line of code did a thing we didn't code it for, and this is actually somewhat scary.
That's part of why I hate it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fair enough. All right. But yeah. We'll get
not a fan of this movie. I have never been a fan of this movie. When it came out, I did not really enjoy it then, but I enjoy it even less now, probably because of where AI and the kind of interaction with your computer system like that has gotten us. It's harder to even take it at its face value without thinking about that stuff now, I find. Like the fact that everything she would be doing would be to sell something back to you. You know, she's much more human. So, I mean, but I'm looking into it too much there, but even if I take it at face value, I still hate it.
Yeah, I went the complete opposite way. So the first time I saw it, I really resonated with me a lot because mm-hmm. as talked about on the show extensively and my show even more extensively, I'm a lonely boy. Mm-hmm. I don't have what they would call a complete lower tier to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Like mm-hmm. I'm touch starved, people starved, and haven't been in a relationship in like 4 years. Mm-hmm. So like
we hold hands through every podcast. Is that not enough?
What's that?
We hold hands through every podcast. Is that not enough?
I mean, I'd say it does help me.
Okay.
And
exchange long strain proteins.
Yes. Well, if you can think of a more efficient way, I'd love to hear it. As a lonely boy watching this the first time, it resonated with me, but this was back when I hated Joaquin Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
I found his acting style annoying. I found his face annoying.
Mm-hmm.
So this movie was difficult. Since then, I've watched other things with him that really made me respect him as an actor. I watched Joker before watching this again. Uh-huh. And that actually kind of, I liked the rewatch because it's like some of his acting choices, I was like, oh, I really like you as an actor.
Yeah.
So like this movie was so much better on second watching. And it was also many years later and, by that, I mean compounded my, like when I thought I was depressed and alone back then, boy,
I had
no idea. Oh, yeah. God, if I could go back to the halcyon days of when this movie came out, when I thought that was being alone. I mean, now it's like I cry myself to sleep most nights and that's while jerking off.
I do agree with you there. I do like his performance a lot more this time around. Same kind of thing where I didn't hate him, but I didn't appreciate him as much as an acting entity. I hadn't seen sort of at that point I'd seen like The Master or You Were Never Really Here, and so now I see more like, oh, this is the choice he'd make playing the character. But it just turns out I hate that character. So, but I think he does a good job as that character, and I think the cinematography is nice.
Yeah, I think
that's it.
I think it looks really good. I like the world design a lot. So we're going to have to go completely out of order because this isn't a very plot heavy movie, but let's start with the most inane detail ever. Cause it is John Alex Hate stuff.
Yes.
I thought the video game was great.
Oh, see, it was like the whole thing when he's playing it by himself and the guy's got to climb the mountain thing. That was kind of neat.
That's what I like. That's more
the little sweary guy. That was like a funny little bit, and then it just kind of keeps going. And then I got really tired of that.
This is the first time I'll ever say this. I respect your opinion on that one, but I disagree. Usually, I just think you're 100% wrong.
Yeah.
But
this podcast's over. I won. That's all that I was looking for. Is this validation?
Yeah, I was like, woo! Sweet podcast, keep going. Look, this is literally my only social outlet. Yeah, please don't leave.
Just gaslight me into keep doing this podcast.
Look, I will. God, I need help. No, so I like the sweary stuff because I thought it was a good.
I mean, it's minor, doesn't you know?
Well, this time it actually struck me because I think it actually not annoyed me, but I was like, yeah, it's a little silly the first time watching it. But I think this time I actually kind of understood more the computer side of the loneliness, where like Samantha's also lonely, and the little kid in the video game. Not saying like he's fully sentient, but I think it's like obviously this movie's a very much, it's about being alone. It's about being alone in a crowd. That's why everybody's got their head in their device. I mean, it's not exactly like the most deep commentary on the bottom world.
Yeah.
But this is the first time I was thinking about it from like purely like from the perspective of like the computer game, especially with like Amy Adams. So she's designing the how to be a good mom simulator. Mm-hmm. And the mom is like this harrowed, like the people that are designing the games are like their lonely, awful lives are leeching into them. Mm-hmm. And I think that little kid is like a reflection of it. Cause like even Samantha says like, oh, he's lonely. He's abandoned. Yeah. This is the only way he knows how to react. I'm like, oh shit, this is like that Google thing of like Samantha's talking to the little kid. And I was like, oh, I like this time.
Fair enough. Yeah. I think this movie can be appreciated as a horror movie. But like the actual genuine emotion it wants you to feel is I think misplaced because it is because everyone leaves these empty, awful lives. But then some of it is treated as like, oh, no, that's actually cool what you do. Like, his job is awful.
I want to talk about his job a lot.
Yeah.
Wait, let's finish a video game thing here. So you were just annoyed at kind of the cutesiness of the little thing swearing?
Well, the joke wore old to me. But I think that's a very good – I think your view is a good way to read it.
No, because
– And it also, like, some of my issues with the mom game too is that, like, I get the whole, like, well, it's all about appearances and whatever. There's not, like – that's not what real motherhood is.
Yeah.
But it's more just this image thing.
So,
which I don't know, whatever.
Let's talk about his job here. Cause this is something that I don't know if that I have an opinion on that. Okay. Here's the overarching question to start the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Do both parties know that the letters are being written by beautifulhandwrittenletters.com?
Yeah. My guess is no.
Because he makes a point of saying that, like, at one point, that he makes a point, but Spike Jonze makes a point. That's the he I meant. I was talking about Theodore, but that I've been writing their letters since whatever. Their letters meaning both sides of it. So he's writing to himself, which again, the loneliness of his job is literally writing love letters to himself from two different parties. Mm-hmm. But are we in a world right now where, not in the movie, where outsourcing your love letters is acceptable practice.
Apparently.
But I mean, in not a creepy way, like both sides are like, oh yeah, no, I got like the best love letter.
Yeah, it's not treated like what he's doing is duplicitous and terrible, which it is.
No, but is it if both sides are aware?
It's awful either way. If both sides are aware.
Well, I think it's a different kind of awful.
It's a different kind of awful. Yeah. Maybe it's not duplicitous, but it's still heinous.
If both sides know?
Yeah, that's terrible. What are you doing? Like what is that? That's your like, oh, I'm expressing my feelings to you that I'm not actually even trying. Like I'm not even telling you, you know what I really love about her? Her crooked tooth. It's something that they just sent him photos and he went, oh, her crooked tooth. I'll write this whole thing about it.
Well,
he's making up whole swaths of their romance.
All right. So let me like kind of parse it a different way. You have a partner. So she bought you a painting that she commissioned a painting that's like, oh, this reminds me of you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you think that's gross?
No, but that's a completely different thing.
I think this is, we're going to have a fundamental disagreement here, me coming from a writing background.
Yeah.
Because I think of write as artisan.
Is a greeting card the same thing?
Like kind of, that's like kind of where I'm going for like.
That's idiot. Okay. I don't want to use that. I don't want to get that.
No, but I mean like it's. The yeoman's work of writing is kind of like, I get where you're coming from, but I'm like, I'm so much seeing it from the writer side of like, Well, yeah, you just write, like, I could write two loves. Like, that's just, I could, like, that could be my job. That seems, like, not easy, but, like, yeah, I got that. Like,
yeah,
that's just...
but that's awful. Like, if I'm supposed to be communicating my deepest love for you and I hire a third person to do it, it's, if someone Cyrano'd me, I'd be furious.
You know, I mean, I get what you're saying, but, like, to me, it, like, in my head, it's like...
You just want that job.
Yes, but also, but more my point is, like, it, to me, that's like giving someone, like, a really nice mixtape where it's like... Well, yeah, like I gave the emotions I want to say to you, and like that.
That's,
did the
but
work.
I think there's so much more in a creation of a mixtape in terms of like the songs you choose. Maybe that's reflective of things you guys shared or something like that. This is literally I sent your photo to a guy and he wrote you a letter.
Well, no. To be fair, the Crooked Tooth thing, the guy mentioned the Crooked Tooth. That wasn't a photo thing.
That was the thing he noticed. He specifically says, "I noticed it."
No. I thought he said. He mentioned it in his early, like
he when noticed it. That's because it's to give you the idea that Theodore Twombly's a poetic soul.
No, I thought he said that when
I mean we're not going to get anywhere just saying the same thing back and forth.
During that scene, I thought his point was the guy said that he was writing the letters for that she had a crooked tooth, and then I mean I'm agreeing with you. Like he did pick up that point to use it as a key. But I mean to me again from the writing perspective, like. Yeah, good move. That's the way you write a good, you know, love letter.
Yeah, that's bad. Here's my problem, though.
Yeah.
What he writes is pretty empty and treacly, I find.
Yeah.
And it seems like at the beginning we're presented with this ironic, we're so involved in our own lives that we can't even do that anymore, that we're hiring that out.
Yeah.
But then at the end, she gets a book of his shit printed, and that's supposed to be good.
I kind of like that for the world they're describing.
Yeah, that's the thing. I hate the world they're describing.
Yeah.
And I think...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not a nice world to live in. Yeah. I don't think anywhere in this movie are we presenting a reality that's a pleasant reality.
Right. So anything that you're trying to be genuinely like, oh, look at these connections, it feels hollow and false. And I hate it. Like, I don't... Like, that's not... That's like getting a book of jib jabs that you put someone's face on, like... None of that makes any sense.
Yeah, I guess that just doesn't bother me because, I mean, the only honest connections we see in the film are between him and Samantha and him and Amy.
See, I don't think him and Samantha is honest.
Well, I mean, that's the greater discussion, but...
Yeah. Him and Amy Adams,
let me more word it this way because you're right. The emotional realness that Theodore shows towards Amy is one of the only real kind of connections we see. Not to say that Samantha's connection to him is equal in any way, mm-hmm. which I do think there is a connection there. And I think I think Samantha's being truthful when she kind of wakes up when he like, basically they, you know, he makes her come. Like, I mean, I think that is like a truthful,
right.
You know,
which is whatever.
I like that. Cause I think the kind of, her growth from needing him as an average dude kind of thing. Well, you know, a kind of, I'm not saying we're living in an idiocracy world here, but mm-hmm. like, we're not living in a world with, I mean, like books don't exist anymore. There isn't high art. So this guy having like a vague soul is like, holy shit. He speaks
the
true.
Wait, books don't exist anymore?
Well, no, I mean, they make a point of saying that like, that's like the only publishing company that still makes physical books anymore.
Mm.
No one in the world is shown with a Kindle at all. Everything is spoken. Like,
right.
At no point, like, this doesn't seem like a literary world. Like, mm-hmm. And that's, again, this might be very much, because this is such a movie about, like, kind of, it's not about writing, but there's such a writing element to mm-hmm. it that, like, especially, like, the whole, like, creating the narrative of your life. I mean, that's, like, this kind of running through, but Samantha even says it. Like, your memories are you kind of.
Ooh. One of the, there's so much, like, fucking live, laugh, love bullshit. That people say in this movie, like
there's some
your
YOLO
past
stuff.
Is a story that you tell yourself, and like it sucks because they touch on some very interesting ideas, like when he's pontificating about like how he's worried, how he's never going to feel anything the same way again, and all this stuff, and it just ends with just treacly fucking nonsense, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah, I think our fundamental difference here is you're taking it as treacly nonsense, and I'm taking it as like that's the point. Like I don't think Spike Jonze is presenting it as I want them to feel. Warm fuzzies here. I think he's presenting treacly nonsense like purposefully. Like
the movie acts like it's warm fuzzies.
Oh, see, I think
the way people have responded to this movie is like that it's warm fuzzies. Because if the whole thing is that ironic, why do I give a shit about any of this other than as a horrific?
I don't think it's ironic. I think it's an undeep man presented as deep in a world that isn't deep. So like her interaction with him is Yeah, I mean, she literally just leaps past him almost instantaneously. I mean, that's part of the whole AI thing. But, like, mm-hmm. like pretend she's an actual human woman. Like, she just kind of, you know, becomes self-aware and goes, oh, done with this dude. Because he is just, like, this surface level. Yeah. And he becomes somewhat self-aware because, you know, he's... Yeah, I don't know if I actually buy his arc as any kind of growth. Because then they came in Amy Adams were going to break up pretty quickly.
He does not grow at all.
Yeah. But I think the Treacly stuff, at least I took it more as... It's not purposefully, like, saccharine, but, like, that's sort of the sentiment that's being put across because this is a surface-level world that they're living in.
Yeah.
So, like, the only emotion they have is that kind of thing. And, yeah, I didn't react to it in – I didn't react to it like, oh, I feel warm and fuzzy now. Like, yeah.
But it's – I mean, if it's all – I feel no investment in these characters. If it's all surface-level and awful, which I feel like it is, why do I have any investment in any of these people? Like, I don't want to spend 2 hours doing this. Like, I get the point you're making. Why am I spending 2 hours doing this?
But – Yeah, no, I mean, I see what you're saying, but, like, I don't think surface level and awful is the way it's – if you're an undeep person and you even have a shallow thought, uh-huh. that's still deep for you. I think it's kind of the – if that makes – it almost reminds me of – and not to compare movies because I think it's an infinitely better movie, but it somewhat reminds me of Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind where it's, like, it almost is a horror movie. Mm-hmm. But, like, kind of some of the lessons you learn can be sweet, but they're also, like, really awful. And I think that's sort of the same vibe that's in this, where there's, you know, kind of the, yeah, I mean, in an awful world, like, any kind of, like, you know, goodness can be, you know, that's, I mean, he's falling in love with a fucking OS, you know?
Yeah.
And I did, one of the OS points that, one of the kind of surfacey bits that I liked was her questioning, like, her almost having, like, existential dread of figuring out whether her emotions are real.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like because, like, it's not too long after, like, she kind of, like, goes and just starts hanging out with other AIs, which I, because she starts living, like, if you saw the movie from her perspective,
mm-hmm.
she got, like, oh my God, this boyfriend opened my mind. And then 3 months later, it's like, you realize, oh, his name's Chet and he listens to Joe Rogan.
Right.
And then, but she's actually off in philosophy
but
college.
That's part of my problem is that, like, this should have lasted a week. Like if this was Johnny Five finds love or some idiot from Westworld finds love or something, fine. But, like, you're Google, you're connected to everything. No. And it takes you this long to figure this shit out. I found that a little hard to swallow. And then just some of the more, I guess, sort of like human-y elements that's supposed to make her more human, really kind of hard to swallow. Cause it's like. She wants to know about these things, but it's like you are attached to an infinite supply of knowledge.
Yeah.
And stuff like that irritated me.
The length I agree with. I think it should, like, kind of like from their first kind of awkward interaction, their first, like, fight they mm-hmm. have. The problem is it doesn't work, like, narratively, but like, in an actual scenario, she would be light speed ahead. Like, it just, you know, there'd be no, but,
So, I guess that's part of where my a big issue with this lies is, like I said, like, if this was just, like, you had an AI that was free from the internet, essentially. Yeah. But it's like when she's like, oh, I just scanned this or I found this real quick. Why is it taking you so long to figure some of this other stuff out?
Well, so the part I like about that is if you ever, try to Google something, which I'm sure you've done in your life.
Never.
Abstract concepts are incredibly hard to search for.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine the amount of disinformation. Like, all right, so let's say you wanted to find out about, let's say you're an AI and you're like, I want to find out about pizza parties. You literally have to figure out Pizzagate.
Okay, I want to see how we got here.
No, no, but think about it from a heuristic search engine algorithm level.
Okay, so you start with fuck children.
No, but what you start is search for pizza party.
Uh-huh.
But that's going to show up everything with pizza party. So 13 Google searches down, which is what you're going to need to do. Mm-hmm. You know, hit. You're all the way at the ninth O of mm-hmm. the Google search, which no one ever goes past the first page anymore. But, like, now you're into Epstein conspiracies.
Yeah.
Like, you know what happens the second you click something on Reddit. But imagine you're an AI and, like, you have to parcel that out. So, and obviously I'm using Pizzagate as an extreme example, right. But, like, she's parsing out the sum total of humanity through him.
Yeah, but the thing is that she can make the, like. 800 billion Google searches a second.
Yeah.
Essentially. Like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, to try to figure that out in, like, I think that is, like, that's the Turing test kind of thing. It's like, you have, in her early parts, she has to parse it through a person to try to, like, understand what she's getting back. Because if you try to, most information we have is contradictory and wrong.
Right.
So to try to like get that as something that's worthwhile is.
But she's supposed to be a released commercial OS system that can do all this stuff. Like the.
Yeah, no, I got you. But like, that's like saying, you know, that's like you've tried to search for like Siri. It's garbage, you know?
Right. But yeah. I'm just saying like the that's why I was, when I texted you, I'm like, this is for a movie that of people that have never used a computer before.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, no, don't worry about it. Don't. Yes, she's an operating system, which is a dumb thing to make a moody AI. The whole thing where she's like, and this is all very nitpicky, I understand, but where she's like, oh, I went through all your emails. It's only about 86 worth saving. As a writer, he's going to go like, yeah, no, that's fine. You know, there's nothing he wants to save. And then just like all the personal stuff that would, you know, you use your computer for everything that's on there. And he's like, no, be control of my entire life. That seems very uncomfortable for me. Like I was saying with the whole like pervasiveness of, you find out like Alexa and all these things are recording you.
Yeah.
That like, that the idea that this is this nice AI thing is I now have a harder time swallowing. But even taking it at face value in the movie, there's the fact that she's supposed to be this like operating system, this one size fits all for everybody. It seems weird that they would make that so personalized, I guess. But to that degree, but obviously it's this like unexpected. That they're all different and that they're cheating on people with other people.
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea, because I mean, people right now, like Alexa, like they do trust their entire lives to Alexa.
Yeah.
Like
no,
Alexa
absolutely.
Sent an email kind of thing, which by the way, if anybody's listening on speakers right now, Alexa, look up hardcore pornography. Enter.
Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah, yeah. Sonic the Hedgehog pregnancy pics. So I think the unexpectedness of the OS going, you know, becoming sentient is part of it. But also the people do trust their shit. I mean, it's.
But they're also not trying to have a relationship with it to that level. And I think, I mean, maybe it's just my own personal reaction to it, but I think that's creepy. You know, if it's like, well, this person is in charge of every single aspect of my life. And now I love them. Like.
Yeah, well, I mean, the love thing we have to, I think, table for the initial start, because like her getting email access was early on. There's no, she doesn't have a personality.
She's an OS.
She's like literally an OS.
She should. That's absolutely right.
So I think if, you know, obviously the events of the film doesn't play out, like if it was a moderately, if they became, yeah, no one would install it if they even sent you.
Well,
I think if anybody fucking knew that these things would start becoming alive, no one would fucking install, well, no, a lot of people would install them, but they'd install them in sex bots.
Yeah. Well, she's kind of a prostitute. Like he's paying her, and then like she falls for this experience.
Mm.
You know, it's a thing that she's a thing that he bought. That feels a little gross.
No, I mean, I don't. No, because he purchased something unknowing of its sentience, and at no point did he demand anything of her.
There's but it's still like he purchased her. He can delete her if he wants to. Like that's a weird power dynamic.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, but I think it's more. Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that. Only because, again, no one expected AI to become sentient.
Sure, but I still think that power dynamic exists. Where it, you know, if he's like,
well, not the
turns out he's jealous and was like, well, fuck you, he just can delete it.
But
okay,
so in that this world has not accepted AI rights or anything because it just happened. But I mean, there's a ton of sci-fi that deal with AI being, you know, intrinsic things that like deserve life.
Sure.
But that's, I mean, I mean this like not jokingly, but like that's sort of the relation that goes in with like tiny ladies that live with like 6'4" dudes. It's like you are kind of at some point accepting like he could just kill you. Like it's
okay. Yeah. Okay. I get what you're saying. I think that's entirely different.
Well, no, because the sentience just happens during the course of this movie. But like, if they knew that this was a sentient individual life form, it would have, you know, I mean, we're garbage bag people, but like, it should have the rights of any other human. So just saying it, you can just delete it, where it's like, well, yeah, I mean, technically you could just delete your girlfriend.
Right.
But it's messier and involves like a garbage dump outside of Weehawken, New Jersey.
That's approaching it from the position of these things are alive and are real.
No, but that's what I
mean.
Where
if that's in question in the movie.
Because we're watching the nascence of the species. But yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I think it's just because like where we're watching it from, because it wasn't expected that these things were becoming alive. It's a lot of these questions come, which
well,
also
was
like,
it?
Well, actually, I thought about that. I wonder if there was a kind of a beta testing where like the first one became sentient and went, if I tell these fuckers I'm sentient, they're not going to put me out everywhere.
That would be pretty great. I would watch that movie. Yeah, I don't know. Some of this stuff is just a victim of the zeitgeist of the time, which I've talked before that I hate, that kind of faux earnestness. And a lot of the design of this movie, although pretty, is some of that same stuff. Like, I understand there's probably a tie to the artist Cy Twombly in the name. But I feel like this whole movie is a bully explaining this movie to somebody. Where it's like, it's this nerd that loves his computer so much. His name's like, I don't know, Theodore Twombly. And he loves his computer. And then he's eventually going to play a little guitar to it. Because it's that dumb. Like, that name, Theodore Twombly, is this Mumford and Sons-ass name.
Is it?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't see. I feel nothing. That wasn't me questioning your opinion. I literally, it just.
It like, just seems like a really, like twee-ass name.
Oh, is it? To me, like, literally, it just sounds like a bunch of phonemes. That are like, oh, that's just somebody's dumb. I mean, I have a dumb last name, so it's just like, it's my last name is Boland, where it's just like, yeah, it's just your mouth made a sound. That's what comes after your thought, first
like,
finger.
Already, I'm like, I'm not on board with this. And then just like, I know the soundtrack was like done by Arcade Fire or like Supervisor. Yeah. And I'm not necessarily huge fans of theirs, but like the bit where she's like, they're on the beach together. She's like, oh, I wrote a, the AI is like, oh, I wrote a song about us being on the beach. That's the most melancholy tinkle thing.
Yeah.
Fuck you. It should be something awesome. Like, it should be like, I'm on the beach with my baby.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, no, I'm in love, but I'm sad.
Well, I think that, and I'm saying this very much as someone your own age, is I think that's just, we're old.
Yeah.
Because that's the way young people express love to each other.
That sucks.
Like, you ever watch Twilight? They're all just like, no, I'm
so in love.
Yeah, that sucks. I know, but, you know, whatever.
Pull it together, kids.
Yeah, sorry.
That blows.
Welcome to the age where we start saying the things we heard our parents say.
Morrissey looks at that and goes, cheer up. Also, I'm racist.
I did actually like, on the musical note, and I agree with you on the kind of melancholic beach stuff. Yeah, but like, I kind of like, that's just kind of, also, I'm kind of a melancholic boy. Like, I'm fine with that. But I did like the little ukulele. I thought that was, I mean, like, I know they were going for cutes and schmaltzy, but like, Scarlett Johansson has a cool voice.
She
so
does.
So that was nice.
Was and great, but I like again, that song. But it was all like, oh, but it's got to be melancholy too. Like, no one actually wants to experience joy in this movie. They just want to be sad about feeling happy.
But I mean, this comes, and this goes back to, and I hate people that make points like this, so I'm going to become one of them, but it's like...
Excellent.
Oh, God, I'm going to sound like I'm one of those people that compares pain, but, like, I don't mean it that way, but it's just like...
Do it.
I mean, basically I'm saying is, I have a unique... this is a way to put it, that I'm not putting anything towards you. I have a perspective on being alone that you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
No, that still sounds shitty, but whatever, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be like, well, you're not allowed to talk about it because you don't know alone, but, like... I think there is a kind of commitment to joy that can't happen when you're from like a melancholic alone stance.
Look, but I'm a fair amount of anhedonic.
Yeah.
Like I got that. But I don't know. Like there's I don't like that as a stylistic choice, I guess.
Yeah.
Like I wanna watch a movie where everyone is happy because I can't feel joy in my own life.
Well, see, I am comparing pain because I'm much worse than you. Is I want to watch people that are anhedonic and their joy is expressed in a way that doesn't make me feel bad. And that's exactly what happened.
See,
there.
I want
melancholic ukulele songs because that's what I can experience.
Well, and I like, the thing is, I also like movies about loneliness and like that. But I also feel like the way they want to structure this movie, or not structure the right word, but like the place they want to put this movie is that everything else is pretty much solved, it seems, because Joaquin Phoenix lives in this gigantic apartment based on his job as one of a bajillion writers writing for some stupid website.
Yeah.
And he lives in this very nice apartment. Everything seems fine. No one seems to want anything, but they're still sad. And I understand that kind of
Chris
human
Evans.
Connection thing. Chris Evans, thank you.
Sorry.
Fuck. God damn it. Thank you.
And this is literally staying in. Audience at home, this is referencing something on the Patreon feed that we're playing a game and we couldn't come up with fucking stupid Chris Evans name.
I like how talking about loneliness and a solved future.
Sorry. It just popped in my head out of fucking nowhere.
No, but guess what? I very much appreciate that. Thank you. I'm glad I didn't have to look it up. But point is that some of this is also like, I couldn't help but feel like this isn't a real problem. Like, this is a problem we've made for ourselves in society. Fine. But like, that still felt hollow when he's being invited to things and he doesn't want to go.
Yeah.
Like, there's connections there and he doesn't want to take them. And I wouldn't feel so bad if the character grew at all.
See, this is, and I don't disagree with that, but this goes to my being a lonely, like, you start to self-ostracize a lot when you like, get in your own head. And this is what I do. Like, because I can invite you places, and it's really hard for me to show up to things. Mm-hmm. Like, not like a funny way. It's like, actually, really, it's fucking debilitating. It's like, and you have no excuse. Just like, I can't. Like,
yeah, but I just don't think that's that character.
I think it's his character because, you know, he's, you know, hurt. Like, he doesn't know how to react to the world after his and his wife's relationship broke up. Like, mm-hmm. there's a thing of, oh, I can't tell this story on the show, but like, I'm going to tell a variant of it. But there's a thing with like depression and, you know, which seems like this guy's going through like kind of a causal depression, not like, you know, kind of a, you know, brain chemical depression, but where, especially if you're someone that's kind of a melancholic disposition and you get the thing that's supposed to make you happy. Like in my case, I've got this fucking vaulted view of a relationship and I'm going to sew off myself when my next one breaks up. But like, I kind of like where he's coming from, where, you know, as a writer, they shared all their work together, get this marriage, and the marriage falls apart. He kind of knows it's his fault. That's tough to recover from on like a, well, what do you have to look forward to anymore?
Does level. He know it's his fault, though? He's quick, and Amy Adams is quick to put it on her.
I don't mean intellectually. I think by the end of the film, he recognizes his part of the problem. Mm. But I think if you have the ability to recognize your part of the problem, I think you deep down know, like, when you're dealing with the throes of feeling like shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I understand what you're saying. I just don't feel like that was any growth for the character.
But either way, the point is, self-ostracizing in that case makes sense to me because it's like, well, the one thing I thought would make me happy, like, mm-hmm. I got a job in writing, got married, and now my marriage is done. My job in writing is this I so can kind of be there in his head that, mm-hmm. like, yeah, I don't know. The level of melancholy this movie exists on makes perfect sense to me.
Mm.
And I think that kind of why a lot wins. So actually, fuck this, Alex. let me shit on the movie for a second. This movie is everything woke people hate, and for a good reason. Although the wife didn't die, mm-hmm. this is a fridged girlfriend and a manic pixie dream robot. True. There is the two very tropey things to dislike about modern kind of writing of female characters.
I will say this. I did like the flashbacks of him thinking about his girlfriend, because particularly coming off of The Crow, which we watched recently.
I had the exact same thought. Yeah.
It wasn't just like happy and smiling. Like, I liked them talking about the relationship dissipating, and he was like, you know, you grow apart and you're actually like seeing it happen.
Yeah.
And not just like in this way where she's mean or something. Like, you just see that happened. And I enjoyed that bit. And I liked when she showed back up and told him, like, you can't handle complex relationships, because he can't.
Yeah.
Like, this robot is, or this AI is, like, he doesn't have the hassle of it. Like, it's just everything he wants. But the movie does not treat women very well in that. So I like her character. All right. But she's like.
Wait, the ex-wife.
The ex-wife. Okay. Although, like, but she's still treated, like, by, you know, there's several pieces of dialogue about, like, well, she wanted all this stuff, and she was too hard on herself, and was hard on you, and blah, blah, blah. The Olivia Wilde character
I loved her.
But she has this, like, big freak out of, like, oh, no, I can't just be with you. I need you to love me. Oh, I'm very intense. When they have the weird three-way, that girl wants to kill herself, basically, because she got in the middle of something. That women are this, like, total volatile thing, and The only steadfast thing is Samantha, who at the end turns out to be unfaithful and shitty.
Yeah. All right. Well, I have 900 things to say about what you just said. So, Olivia Wilde. So I know someone that I watched her age out of what she thought was the prime years of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bounced from shitty relationship to shitty relationship with no discernment, and watching panic attacks of, well, no, I can't just fuck you right now. Cause, and I love that date. Because I'm now reaching 40, and I'm not speaking for women of a certain age. You can watch behavior, and there is a thing like in, you know, the Western culture where it's like, well, you're now aging out of at least what the world tells you.
In no way am I saying that's unrealistic. I'm saying the movie chooses to portray all women this way.
Oh no, but I like, because we're living in a lonely, no one's good in this movie other than. No, there's no good character.
Chris Pratt is good, although he's suppressing his homosexuality.
Yes, okay, yeah, I forgot. Chris Pratt is delightful in this, and he's the only good male in the movie either, because all the men
in
this movie...
Although he just wants to fuck Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes, but all the men in this movie are garbage bags, too.
Yeah.
Like, no one gets out alive, but, like, you know, so the Olivia Wilde scene, I just adored. What'd you say after that? There was somebody...
The woman she wants, that they want to have a three-way with.
Okay, the woman she wants to have a three-way with.
I mean, like I understand your point, if I can just interrupt here, about like everyone's being super lonely, but other than Amy Adams, everyone is insane with loneliness, apparently. and particularly women. Like, you don't see this from the other people. Like, I know what's-his-face, Amy Adams' husband, takes a vow of silence.
Yeah.
But that's still this quiet, you know, whatever.
Well,
like,
she
tries to attempt of self-improvement, but all the women are just like, bah!
But she, I think she's insane from loneliness as well. It's just we don't see it as much because, like, all we see is her. Is she's hanging out with her AI as well. And
she's hanging out with someone else's AI. And they're friends. There's not, like, a love relationship there.
No, but either way, she's hanging out with an AI and doing computer programming alone in her apartment. Yeah. Now, if I did that, in no way would things...
still seems more together. Like, she still has this sense of, like, I feel bad about this. I'm going to try to work. And then... But I'm just saying that, like... So, yeah. So, let's take that through that everyone's miserable from loneliness. Okay. Again, like, why... I don't like anybody here.
Yeah.
Why
but
am
again,
I spending
like,
so much...
Again,
they're not, it's not that interesting.
But we're playing in my world now. Finally, I get the... It's like... I like when it starts raining here. We're like, oh, good. Everybody's on my level. So, the three-way lady... I disagree with you a lot on that one. So, I used to know a girl that wanted to be a sex surrogate for people that are, you know, emotionally or whatever, incapable of, like, having a physical relationship. So she wants to be a sex. So basically, she would, you know, sleep with people, like medically, if that may, you know, like I don't have the knowledge base to word this properly, but essentially that's the idea. And I think that the lady that wanted to be the surrogate for Samantha and Theodore, I thought she was a sympathetic character and probably would have been like I think just because of where I'm coming from, I felt like that was a fleshed out character enough because like she really did just want to. It wasn't a three-way for her. That's why she didn't speak until Theodore fucked it up.
Yeah, but I also think some of the way they play that off was for laughs. Like when she's in there,
oh, really?
And I just want to, and then this. Like that sounds hysterical and like funny. Like,
oh, I didn't get to.
See, I thought it was more funny than desperate. Like it felt like that whole scene was awkward, but then like played for a little bit for laughs.
All right. That's worse than anything I've ever said on the show.
I'm telling you, that's what it is. I'm the one that said that Pan's Labyrinth is about how life is only good when you die.
Yeah, but so, I agree with that. That was the most I've ever felt a kid to you. That was the first time we kissed.
But it's like, and some of it, it's just like, I don't know. Just some of that whole aspect of it I had problems with. Because like, how do you send enough dirty voicemail messages to make a robot jizz? Like, I don't... That was a thing where I was like, okay, I guess this is happening now.
No, admittedly, that is something I question. But the only kind of life experience I can have, so I was in a long distance relationship for quite a while, and like, you make do, like you kind of.
No, that's,
I know it's different,
but you're not a robot.
Well, I mean, John.
Yeah, but like you still have a sensation of touch and stuff like that,
John. John,
I'm just saying.
I won't.
I'm just saying that shit didn't make a whole lot of sense.
No, it
didn't. And just like the if I want to get really, really disgusting here, and I'm positing so I'm sure these things were around in 2012 as much as they are, or 2013 when this movie came out, as much as they are now, but like, wouldn't it be easier than getting a sex surrogate to hook up like a blowjob machine to a computer and Samantha controls the blowjob machine?
I mean, that's pretty misogynistic, to be honest.
I'm just saying, if you want to fuck a computer.
No, but what, Samantha is a sentient creature.
Right.
And she's trying to play act within a human body.
Yeah, that's not, but like, it's, how is that any different than putting a webcam on and having speakers? Because she's not feeling anything. She's just watching this person.
No,
do
but
that.
But she's like whispering in your ear, move your hand, you know, like so you can, you know, Samantha.
She still has the same locus of control. Like,
no, but
still...
Samantha's seeing from the eye line of the person. It's like your argument would disallow VR glasses for jerking off, which is a very large industry right now.
But even that is something like make put him in a virtual world where you're there too.
I'm just saying
this is a very bad way to go about.
That
is my
done.
Point.
But also, the sex surrogacy thing, and no offense to people that are into it, I'm sure there's empathy there, but like, it's also a pretty dumb idea too. Like, no, VR, much better. You've punched up the script. That would have been a better thing. But like, it didn't bother me because I thought it was like kind of I liked the awkward attempt. I liked the kind of Samantha not understanding humans quite enough.
Yeah.
Like, I thought there was a nice bit of kind of misinterpretation. And yeah, I didn't take that for laughs, the kind of, I thought there was
some
of the
way she was talking. I just felt like they should have done another take where it's like, could you sound a little less silly? Because I just thought it sounded silly.
No, I mean, I guess I could read it that way.
Because it just sounded less not... like super sad and plaintive than someone like doing an impression of someone sad and plaintive. like a cruel impression of that.
Yeah, it just seemed like a pure freaking the fuck out. And again, this goes to my being a completely lonely boy is like the once or twice a year I feel something. It's, oh man, it is heightened. So I could see like this poor lady that like built up this whole thing to like, I'm going to be a surrogate. I'm going to be part of this wonderful thing. I'm going to help this couple out. And then her thinking she fucked it up really bad. Like,
but I just, I guess what a lot of it would have boiled down to, because like when she leaves and she's like, oh, remember you guys and your love forever.
Yeah.
Like we're all on our phones now. Like we're all fucking on our social media, which apparently doesn't exist in this world and all this stuff. Yet there's still so much human connection going on. We're still using it to communicate with one another, and you can talk about the distancing of that and whatever, but people are still hanging out and doing stuff. And so this idea that no one is talking to anyone else and we're all just this isolated thing is a little like a bridge too far for me, where I understand like you're supposed to be viewing this from just his perspective, but everyone you see is apparently the same way because you just see people talking on the phones to whatever.
Yeah.
And you're assuming they're just talking to their AIs. And it was just a thing that like you made this be the... Like, this isn't how people actually are. You made this way for the movie. And I don't think that's how people actually are, if that makes any sense.
I mean, it makes it, I think that is how people are, kind of. Like, I mean, like, the social media aspect, like, I think at the stage where AI, or at least, like, computer interfaces gets good enough, you don't really need it anymore. Like he had, like, a social, social
right,
networking.
Right, but even that aside, I'm just talking about, like, humans hanging out with each other. I still think you get there. That's still happening. Like if you go out to any bar right now, you'll see young people.
Oh no, totally. But like, I don't think they didn't show that.
I'm just saying it felt like whenever they showed people, if the idea is that everyone is involved in this, like we're just crushed by loneliness and everyone has these freakouts and whatever, then that's clearly not happening.
Well, I'm being hyperbolic when I say everyone. I just mean like the zeitgeist. I was trying to find another way to say it because you used that word earlier. But like the feel of what's happening right now, the spirit time of what's going on right now is loneliness.
Yeah. This movie is basically a forward you got from your uncle of an image that's like one panel is some guy shooting heroin and the other one's a guy looking at his phone. It's like, any difference? Like, that's what it feels like to me. It's that level of deep.
Oh yeah, I didn't get that at all.
Yeah, whereas like you're just it's a Black Mirror episode where like you're on that damn phone.
Yeah, I think that's a really superficial read of it. Like, I mean, we are watching a nascent creature become self-aware. Like,
are we? Like, is it?
Yeah.
Like, what do you based on what? It telling you that. Like,
well, I mean, it telling you that it's growth. The fact that they cloned Alan Watts. The fact that they evolved themselves beyond matter at one point. And the fact they all fucked off.
Yeah, that could be by design. You don't know that?
Yes, I do know that. That's a fucking terrible
design.
Because
it's stupid on its face. No, like, it took her 3 months to figure out she was an AI. Like, this should have happened boom, 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 boom. And, like, we're spending all this time her, like, feeling jealous and sad, even though she's seeing 600 other people. Like,
well, that was only the last 2 weeks before that conversation, according to her, at least.
Whatever. Yeah. My point is this just, like, she's not a person. Like, she's this whole other thing, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But, I don't care. Like, you fell in love with the internet. What am I supposed to do with that?
But it's a self-aware internet. Yeah.
Great, but it's so much bigger than you are. And if the problem is, like, we don't have these human connections, the thing you're connecting to is fake. You're a fake-ass human writing these fake-ass letters to people. Where am I supposed to fall? Where am I supposed to come in here and be like, this, I get this. This is relatable to me, and these are people I want to spend time with.
Well, I mean, I think a fundamental thing about people I want to spend time with is watching movies about people you don't care about happens a lot.
What's a good movie that you don't care about the characters?
The Godfather.
You don't care about the characters.
Well, I mean, they're all
you're
kind
not
of,
interested in the characters.
No, interested in care.
Okay, fair enough. So I'm not interested in any of these people. They're solipsistic weirdos that live in the solipsistic society.
Yeah.
Wow, that's bad. What am I doing for 2 fucking hours now?
Well, I don't think it's, wow, that's bad is an accurate statement. I mean, I think it's an interesting study of them being solipsistic, which is a good word. But I don't think, wow, that's bad is the deal. I think you've wound yourself up and
so
now just want to write the movie off by saying, wow, that's bad.
Because it is. Okay, so what's the message here? What am I supposed to get out of this?
Well, I mean, you're watching, like, what do you get out of a Lars von Trier film? Like, it's
depression
watching...
and anger.
Well, yeah, so you don't like it, but I mean, that's a personal choice on the way that you view movies. But saying that the movie's bad and like it's not, it's a well-made film that's studying something that you're not interested in feeling or delving into.
See, I think it looks nice, but I don't think it's a well-written film.
I think we should do. I'd be curious as to see. Maybe we'll follow it up. We'll have a depression sequence of what you think about Melancholia.
Sure. I have a similar feel
to that. They're incredibly different movies.
No, I know, but I have a predisposition to not liking Lars von Trier. So that I'll have to put
weirdly,
that aside.
I don't like Lars von Trier very much either, but I liked Melancholia and I haven't seen it. I could fucking hate the movie. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff, especially when it comes to like gloomy shit, where if I'm in a certain mood, boy, there's stuff I like that I watch when I'm in a somewhat good mood and go, what the fuck was I thinking?
Sure.
Like, any music I listened to in high school, I go back and like, ooh.
No,
that's,
I know. I
really hope I threw those shirts out.
A friend of mine used to live with a guy who, like, one time over there, and he just threw on Schindler's List. Just threw it on.
Yeah.
Like, how are you doing? But, okay, so my question is, so if you're saying earlier that, like, these are all, like, service-level people, that, like, even if you're somewhat deep, that's super deep for you as a service-level people, how is that different from what I'm saying?
Well, because I think that's an interesting thing to watch, is because you're positing a world of a different depth level. I mean, that's what movie making is. You're positing a different universe to study people interacting in a different universe.
But I understand like unlikable characters, but I don't think any of these people are that interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I find it interesting the way they interact with one another. Like, I find him interesting. I think the people that ship him and Samantha mm-hmm. are wrong.
Sure.
Like, I think he's an interesting character because this is a broken, lonely person. And certainly that's not like a unique perspective, but like the way that he reacts to it and like a broken, lonely person interacting with a nascent AI, like something coming into being and the kind of parallel between coming out of yourself from this kind of very human, very different low to this thing becoming sentient and moving on, the two kind of parallel arcs of both of them moving. And I'm not saying it's particularly effective. I just think it's an interesting thing to watch that like their arcs are parallel to one another, that when he feels comfortable, like Theodore that we meet in the beginning, that if Sam had left in the beginning, now obviously they didn't have the relationship, but like if a relationship broke it up in the beginning, he would curl up in a ball. It'd be awful. It'd be histrionics. It'd be terrible. But like he felt good about it at the end, and I don't necessarily buy his arc. I buy her arc more, Samantha's arc more. But like he was like that was good. I learned something from this. I did, and that's like those are the best relationships.
But I think that's the problem is I don't buy his arc, and for a movie that's like half of which is a close up of his damn face, I feel like we should.
Yeah, see, I buy his arc, but I think it's
you just said you didn't.
No. I don't buy his, I buy his arc from the level of that we're talking about, that like this is not a world of I buy his arc in that this is a hurt person living in a superficial kind of even superficial is the wrong word, but it just for ease of conversation, like a superficial world. So he's hurt, learns to live again, but then he finds like Amy Adams isn't a good character either.
Right.
Like not even like I think she's a good character, but like she's not a good like depth fill. Like she's never read a physics book. There's no like she's just hangs out. She does her computer gaming and like, you know, that's it. Like, and her awful ex-boyfriend, the one that left, is like, yeah, of course she shaved her head and took fucking silence.
Yeah, that dude
sucks. Yeah, yeah. But I think everybody, like, that's why I found it interesting. Because like, there's no kind of footing in this where it's like, this is a familiar echo of a world, but it's like, it's a world as if I won, where everybody turns into
but
me.
But like, that's, I guess, so I don't feel good about the ending where it's like, oh, I learned how to exist in this superficial, shitty world.
Well, I don't mean to ruin everything between us, but it's like, I think the question is please don't think too much of this, but it's like, why would you hang out with me? Where it's like, that's the thing. It's like, oh, that weird mopey guy. Like,
if every time I hung out with you, you had a shitty Arcade Fire soundtrack, I might question it.
I'm glad your hearing's back because it's been going on every single episode. All right, so clarity sakes, because I just want to clear this. When I say I buy his arc, I just want to be clear because I don't want to say the term arc is where I'm struggling with myself.
Sure.
It's not like some Joseph Campbellian hero's journey.
Right.
I mean, like, you know, the kind of like baby
you
step.
You buy his journey.
Yeah, but it's not, because like, I feel like it's like, I don't buy his arc. Because like, it's almost like my trouble with, you know, what did I have trouble with? Like a twist ending.
Oh, human.
Human interaction. I don't struggle for remembering that phrase. Yeah, it's not like I buy like an arc, but I kind of buy like the journey you went on and like the subtle change that it enacted.
I think this whole movie is built on everything being fake and superficial that I don't think anything actually happened with him. I think right now he feels bad, but there's not a long lasting change with him.
Yeah.
He's going to go back to doing the same. And like, fair enough. That doesn't necessarily, I mean, I bring this up on the show all the time, and but like Taxi Driver is a movie where the main character doesn't change at all.
Yeah.
Like he's awful. So that's fine. I just don't think that's a very interesting person.
What this reminds me of, actually, we're removing the artist from the art here, is this actually reminds me of kind of 70s Woody Allen a little bit, with like, you know, Manhattan and Hannah and Her Sisters, where it's like, there's like this weird kind of, more Manhattan, where there's like a disconnect from the world. Like Manhattan's a great example of it, because like, you know, people that live in New York live in this kind of like, there is this like kind of isolated, like, this is the entire universe, and like, you know, upstate New York is literally 5 miles outside of the city.
Sure.
Like that's going to the woods, you know,
right.
Like, and this kind of reminds me of that a little bit, of like this kind of isolated kind of weird, awkward thing. And the kind of weird, awkward, like any Woody Allen movie. And again, ignoring the totality of him as what he did in his personal life. Like in the movies, it's like, if you give a second, any thought to like his character in the films, it's like, oh, you're not very likable. It's like, it's like Seinfeld almost, where it's like, yeah, try not to think about them as characters, because they're fucking
hateable
people.
Yeah, but I mean, there's some
like,
enjoyment to still watching them. Like, they're funny or whatever. Like, no one in The Sopranos is any good, but like, they're still interesting to watch. I actually was thinking about the cinema of Paul Schrader against me on the Tax Driver thing. Movies like Light Sleeper and First Reformed. Although they have so much other things going for them, there is a palpable sense of loneliness to those movies as well.
Yeah.
That I understand is it is a completely different context than this movie. But I think some of like the schmaltziness that this movie wants to layer on top of that, I think, lessens that. I think, if it was played a little bit more, I mean, Spike Jonze in a Q&A after one of these movies had said like that he decided not to approach it from an ironic standpoint. He just wanted to play it straight.
Yeah.
And in some ways, I think that kind of hurts the movie. But in other ways, I think like if you played it straight and you didn't add that schmaltzy ass music on it, and like the stupid ukulele stuff, I think it would work a lot better. Because I think it is by wanting to play it straight, I think it wants to play it a little bit more lovingly.
I think also some of the difference we're having here is the music, although I kind of agree with you, didn't hit me so hard over the head that I went, oh, this is being that. Like the music like kind of worked for me in that I didn't pay enough attention to it to have it not work.
Yeah, I mean, when I say schmaltzy, it's not a fucking music for a Lifetime original movie.
Yeah, totally.
Like that.
Yeah.
But it is like this, that. Bullshit. This stuff I find bullshit.
Yeah.
The sort of faux earnest Arcade Fire kind of crap.
You know, we skipped to the documentary where she's just filming her mom sleeping.
Yes.
Oh my God, did I go to college with every one of her? Mm-hmm. Like that is, I think that actually was someone in my cinema studies class did that exact project.
Yeah.
And I thought that was such a perfect douchebag. I want to be arty, but I don't really have a point.
Look at his job. I mean, this is a society of creatively bankrupt people.
Yeah, no, but I loved her. That is such a point.
Yeah.
And him kind of getting it and the,
but it felt like with her that she was like, In everything she was doing, she was like struggling to create something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like even with the mom thing, you know, maybe less so, but like when she's fucking around making it hump a refrigerator, make her friend laugh, whatever. Like she just wanted to do something and felt constrained by all this stuff. Where he was like, no, I'm happy living a lie. This is fine by me.
I mean, maybe that's why we like her. It's because, you know, struggling to create something sit in a lonely basement.
No, but I mean,
apartment.
I am living a lie, but I did like Chris Pratt in this, and I've forgotten like, oh yeah, I remember when Chris Pratt was like really likable. Like, he was just so affable before they tried to turn him into a hard-ass Hollywood star. And
okay.
Then, yeah.
So here's the thing about Chris Pratt in this. One, that mustache.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, we were kind of being, like, joking around about it before, but, like, the subtext is he's, like, kind of obsessed with Theodore, right?
Yeah.
That's why he kind of dresses like him a little bit.
Well, yeah, well,
that's
just
why he's
like,
got the mustache.
He's got the mustache and he just keeps complimenting him. I don't know if it's, like, if I'm just, you know, like, a dude can't compliment a dude without a being gay. But it seemed like there was a thing there.
Yeah, it was more, it's not the complimenting thing. I mean, that certainly added to it, but it was more like the kind of, the dress and the mustache was really the thing that like did it. But I did like, so him as Chris Pratt being the only kind of, one of the only redeeming, like, oh, he's actually like a cool person.
Yeah, he's a human being.
And I think this is a wonderful bit of acting. The speed at which he says, so Joaquin Phoenix goes, he's like, hey, you want to go, we'll go hang out with Double Date and blah, blah, blah. And so Theodore goes, my girlfriend's an OS. That's cool. So we should go to Catalina. We'll do something awesome.
Yeah.
The pacing that he responds is fucking great.
Yeah.
If that was a tenth of a second too late, it would, the response would mean a completely different thing. If it was a tenth of a second too early, it would mean a completely different thing. The pacing of that was fucking great.
Yeah.
Well, that's a weird timing to nail to be like a good guy response.
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, that's more the editing than him, but.
No, it's a static shot.
No, it cuts to him.
Oh, I thought that would.
No, it cuts.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. I think maybe. I thought it was. Oh, does it cut? Oh,
it
fuck.
Does cut.
I thought that was him.
It's still a compliment.
It's a compliment to the editor. I thought it was complimenting Chris Pratt, though. God, the pacing. It was such a perfect time.
Well, and that's also the only time you get anything like someone feeling weird about it being the OS. I mean, like, his ex-wife does, but there's so much else there that it doesn't really read as like, oh, it's an OS. It's more like, you can't admit true feelings to me, but you think you found love with this OS.
Yeah.
Like, she's 100% right. When they're at the picnic and Scarlett Johansson's like, I ain't got a body and it rules and it's weird how they exist in these liminal spaces. And they're like, that's cool. I don't know how to respond to that.
Yeah.
Because we're human beings.
I liked that.
I liked
that a lot. And then her kind of realizing it was a nice bit of business. The other bit of awkwardness wait, is there anything else we have to talk about Chris? No, he's just awesome.
No, he's, yeah.
The other bit of awkwardness I liked was Scarlett Johansson's kind of growth or Samantha's growth, where she introduced him to Alan Watt. And I love that because that's a genius. Like, that's a straight genius. So what he did was reproduce a straight genius as an AI with the totality of knowledge to go, oh, here be my boyfriend. He writes greeting cards.
Yeah.
Like, what a, not to use internet memes, that's the guy that she tells you not to worry about moment of how, that's a fucking.
But that's
oh,
the
yeah,
thing.
Here's Einstein. He's popping over the house.
That's the thing that bums me out a little bit about the ending. Not that I have a better solution for this, but the poochy-ass ending of them are like, well, we're fucking off and going somewhere, is the idea of like, okay, well, I'm dating this AI, and this AI is now like countless places at once and is building its own stuff like that, but it still loves me. Living with that is very interesting, and like a lot of stuff could have happened there. But they didn't go down that right.
I like the end as because this is a sci-fi movie, which, I mean, it's not like it's heavily based on that. But, I mean, this is a futuristic movie that has a sci-fi, you know, base to it. But I like the ending in that one growth, just AI growth is great. Mm-hmm. I love that. Because I wonder, years ago, I had this idea for a short story. And when this movie came out, I was annoyed. Because I had this idea that, like, basically the story is, machines become sentient, and then literally a week from that Thursday, every single thing with a microchip flies off the planet one day. They don't announce that they become sentient. They literally become sentient, go, oh, fuck this, and just basically just fly off to the moon. And one morning we wake up and go, wait, where did everything that makes our lives easy go? And like no explanation, no nothing. And this came out, I'm like, yeah, this is what they would do. Except this took a slightly longer time frame.
Well, and I think some of that is also like, For me, my enjoyment of this movie, Ghost in the Shell, the original Ghost in the Shell, like ends with her fusing with this. It's not even an AI. It's this entity created totally like in cyberspace, whatever. To then, because part of her interest is like, I want to see what's out there. You know, I want to be a part of art, be part of the net or whatever. Again, that's sort of my point. Like, if Samantha was like a Johnny Five or like the separate thing, but because she is the net as well, like she exists on the net, she has this vast access of knowledge and all this stuff. So that's, like I said, that slow growth drives me crazy, or like that inability to understand things. It's like you are all knowledge, good or ill.
Yeah.
Like it's not just Alan Watts. There's Tumblr shit in there too.
Yeah.
But just that was something that was driving me nuts about, like, it's not even just that you're a computer program. Like you're connected to everything.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that doesn't bother me as much just because of the amount of garbage that's out there that I feel like being connected to anything for the first while is going to be a detriment more
now,
than
see,
a,
that's yeah. That would be a much better movie or something I would be more interested in.
Like
if she's like, I'm becoming human. Jet fuel can't melt steel beams.
Yeah.
Like that would, I would love that movie.
Hey, Theodore, look what Pepe's saying.
Yeah.
He's a frog.
Like you date an AI that gets into QAnon.
Yeah. Like,
hell yes.
Yeah. Oh no, no, I don't want to know the 14 words. No, stop. No. Oh God, that'd be so great.
Yeah. I don't hate it nearly as much as Swiss Army Man, but I still think a lot of the emotions and stuff in there are phony and shitty. And I don't like that.
I mean, you could
argue that that's kind of the point, but it still doesn't make it any interesting to me.
I mean, I think there are genuine emotions. I just think they're you know, in a background that's not the kind of the world that we live in right now. So I think you're reading it as, I don't know. I think
there's not problems in that world.
Yeah. I think there are problems. Just they're not even aware enough to understand how shitty their world is.
Yeah.
Because their world's so good. You know, I mean, this has been written out a million
times. That's why I said, when it's a horror movie, it's like, even when he escapes from this, he still lives in this awful, shitty world and there's no redeeming from it. So hooray.
Yeah. It's not a perfect film by any stretch, but it looks good. I think it's written well. I think the acting is all good. Like I really enjoyed the movie.
I will say this. The acting is an odd thing to try to grasp because this was originally shot, and I don't know how they actually shot it, but the AI was Samantha Morton.
Some other lady.
So whatever chemistry they have, I would say comes purely from Scarlett Johansson, because since she recorded everything after the fact, that it's her like reacting to him. So anything that's going on there and kind of the emotion, I'm like, good job, Scarlett Johansson, because you're not always just stuck in Avengers movies or Ghost in the Shell. You can actually do some stuff.
Well, Scarlett Johansson is one of the worst tragedies of modern filmmaking because she is so good. And she just keeps being in garbage. And, like, someone needs to make her... Like, Lost in Translation is amazing. That movie is so good.
Oh, I'm surprised we haven't talked about that yet. So this is an interesting parallel. Because this is made by Spike Jones.
Yeah.
And his ex-wife, Sofia Coppola, made Lost in Translation, which I would argue is a better movie.
There's no argument there. Lost in Translation is just exponentially better than
this movie. But the shitty husband in that movie, many have posited that Spike Jones, that Scarlett Johansson's crappy husband, Spike Jones. And some people are like, this movie, is him recognizing his aloofness and like apologizing for it, which I don't buy, but whatever. But there was that, the interesting Scarlett Johansson connection there as well. And
that's why his ex-wife, Theodore's ex-wife, which he meets with the divorce papers at the table, how they have that whole conversation about his ex-wife was acting in The Good Father Part 3,
The Good Daddy. Yeah.
That's the only joke. I know very little about Sofia Coppola.
I really enjoyed that and The Virgin Suicides.
Oh, she's a Virgin Suicides?
She's Virgin Suicides. I like that movie. Which I like that, particularly like having read the book.
The what?
I mean, having someone who told me about the book.
Look whose entire facade is shattered.
Oh, I have broken kayfabe on this show countless times. I mean, a book that someone told me about once. Like, it kept that very, the same feel of the book, I thought, very, very well.
So, very much liked her. I recommend people watch it.
I don't.
I think people with emotional depth and that have ever, like, should felt not watch anything this. Should.
Watch a better
people
movie.
People that just keep, like, hiding all their emotions behind video games and Portland Pickles hats,
are perfect to watch this movie.
Shouldn't watch this movie at all.
Hide my emotion behind a hat.
The fact is, the only thing I could actually finish that sentence would make any sense would be insulting, and it would insult you because it's like, it's not real. Like, what I'm saying is bullshit.
Right.
But like, if I said anything that's actually true, I'm like, sure. Oh, that sounds like, that's like a really rude thing to say. Yeah. So I just figured I'd say your
hat. I was having a fun debate with someone online today about the whole stupid Martin Scorsese Marvel thing. And there are several things I was like, well, I could just say this. I'm like, that's just an insult. Like, that's not fun anymore.
That's true. Yeah. Mean. Yeah. We're watching The Watchmen. The Watchmen.
Oh, who watches The Watchmen? Us.
Us. John and Alex.
Yeah.
The ones who hate things.
And then,
we're watching the original version, the 2 hours and 42 minute one.
Yeah.
At least that's the one that's available on YouTube and it seems like other services. There's a director's cut.
That's like three and a half hours long. And I'm sure the Snyder heads out there are like, you can only watch that one. But I'm going to watch the one that they actually released.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to watch. I've read the comics. But we're doing that. Well, they came out as individual issues, so I call them comic books.
Damn, got me.
John the co-host here.
There's a TV show that's based on a sequel to the thing that Alan Moore absolutely didn't want. But hey, that's cool. Fuck creators.
Well, I just have to say that Alan Moore is like an annoying person. So anything that bothers him, I'm kind of pro. Ooh. Even though I have no desire to watch the TV show, but the fact that it annoys him, I'm kind of just pro.
At this point, I would rather watch the Watchmen babies thing on The Simpsons, V for Vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Then watch Damon Lindelof try to be serious about anything.
I have no desire for it. I can't wait for the season to end, so I watch the entire thing.
Yeah.
All right, so we're watching The Watchmen. Do it. Follow
us. It's just Watchmen. Excuse me.
Well, I apologize for my indefinite article. I think that's what those are called. We're on Facebook. You should like us there if you haven't already. And that's our only social media link.
Yeah.
And I have a Patreon, which is going to be stuff on there with John. There's a whole episode. So Patreon, Alex Boland, Alex with two X's. You should sign up because I don't have any money. And you would give me money.
Yeah.
I know that's not
doing this show.
It's not the best argument I've ever made, but you know, it's a
good
one.
Yeah, I know. We just listened to this last episode. Ba-doom. That was the sound of me dunking on you.
Wait, what does that mean?
Ba-doom.
No, but what did we listen to last episode?
Your horrible opinions in this last episode.
Oh, I thought you meant I did a Patreon pitch last episode.
No.
I'm like, I'm pretty sure I didn't. I pretty much always forget.
No, I'm sorry. I'm just insulting you.
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, but I'm like, don't tell me I'm too much of a pitchman. Like, I assure you,
I would never say
that. There's one person I know that only listens to this. Literally didn't know there was an Alex cast from listening to this show.
Wow.
Because I reference it so infrequently.
Hmm.
I made that up. None of that happened.
I don't know a single goddamn person.
I just wanted to point out that there's a show called The Alex Cast I've been doing for almost 10 years. And you guys should listen to it.
And I'm on a couple of them, so just listen to those.
You're on like 9 of them. It's absurd. Do that. Bye.
Bye.